to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Workout Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I am your announcer, Evan Lionheart of evanlionheart.com in New Jersey, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, Conjurman of Conjurman Consulting in Mission Viejo, California, and this week's special guest, Miss Athena of GothamConjure.com in New York, bringing us the topic of feng shui. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman. Miss Kat?
Hi. Thank you so much, Evan Lionheart. We are inaugurating a brand new series here on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. We change things up now and again. Conjurman and I are Tauruses. Nagashiva is a Scorpio. We just sort of sit and do the same thing over and over and over again. But every once in a while, something kicks us in the rear and we start something new. And this is Conjurman's new thing, and I'm so happy to do it. As you all know, we used to do two readings a week, and then we kind of went to having longer panel discussions because people liked them, and we were doing one reading a week. And so now we're going to have the best of both possible worlds. We're going to have a couple of readings, but we're also going to have a new system of divination every month, and that'll be the first Sunday of the month. And this will be kind of our starter set for these. We're going to be talking about feng shui. So feng shui is a system of divination and also a system of remediation. So it kind of is going to be a bridge between our old show format and our new show format, right? So we're calling feng shui the last of the old ones because, hey, it's January 31st. It's not yet the first of the month, but first Sunday of the month. But we want to kind of get you ready for this idea. And the next time around, when we have feng shui come around again, we'll have a system set up. And this is what Conjurman is working on right now, a system whereby you can, if you want to be have your reading done on the radio, you will send us photos if we're doing photopsychometry. You'll send us a map of your house if you're, or photos of your house if you want feng shui done. You will send us any kind of thing, you know, a palm print if you want palmistry done. And we're going to be opening this up in a new way. So this is kind of, like I said, the bridge show between, hey, let's have a topic and let the topic be divination. So just remember, next week we're going to be starting with the beginning of that new series, all right? But this week we're going to be talking about feng shui from the more classical point of view, the way we usually do our shows, all right? So that's the big news that's going on here with the show. Just get ready for it because it's going to be real interesting. And the other thing I just have to report is work is going on apace for the Virtual Hoodoo Heritage Festival 2021. I, as you know, am just a bystander here. I'm going to be a participant, but I've heard some great news from the people who are putting the show together. They're working on all the little bits of the gears are beginning to spin. And so probably by the 1st of March, there'll be a website up that'll, you know, the show is going to be in September, and so you'll start getting some advance notices. So mark the month of September generally. I always like to give advance notice. There will be another Virtual Hoodoo Heritage Festival for this year, and it's going to be a great one. And I'm not on the team that presents it. I'm just one of the people. And let's see what other news. I want to give a shout-out to Papa G. I don't know if he's in the room or not, But Papa G and I have been working on the book projects that we do every year. Lucky Mojo Book Company publishes at least 3 books and sometimes as many as 5 per year. And this year we have 3 lined up. And I want to thank Papa G for calling me up when I was half awake and hadn't had my coffee. And he's like, okay, so what are we doing? And it was just a wonderful wake-up call. So Papa G has already sent me his outline for his book. I mean, he's so far ahead of the game, it's just amazing. I'm working on my book, and there's going to be, of course, a 3rd book, which those of you who know and love our line, we have a subset called the Lucky Mojo Library of Occult Classics, and I am going to be working on that book. It is a favorite of mine. It's one I wanted to reprint for years, and my good friend Deacon Millett kind of, again, I had got another wake-up call. I hadn't had my coffee, and Deacon Millett is like, so are you going to do that one or not? And I'm like, I guess so. So Deacon Millett and I are working on that. Plus, Deacon Millett is working on a book that's going to be an e-book. So all of you who, you know me for my social media-ness, you're going to find me kind of, I'm going to be kind of lowering my participation in that because I've got to get to work on books. It happens every January. Well, this year it's starting January 31st, but I'm going to get the books together, and I will be done with them in time for September. And usually I start in January and I go till May. This time I've given myself a kind of a lope instead of a sprint. You know, I'm going to lope along and get there. So that's what's new here. Lucky Mojo is just chuggling along all by itself, doing its great little things. I want to give a big shout out to Nicole, Althea, and Leslie, and Heidi, and Jenna, and Luther and Dimitri for keeping things going. Really doing a wonderful job keeping Lucky Mojo on track. We got past the COVID insanity and kind of got back in our groove, and we're shipping out things very regularly. And so just if you have anything to order, just go ahead and order it. We're shipping them. All right. That's me. That's what I'm up to. How about you, Conjure Man Ali?
Oh, you know, been busy as usual. The January month for me is a lot of – December and January are a lot of, like, sort of readings about the year to come. So I've been doing those. I'm mostly booked for February. I have only a couple slots open, so if anyone's interested in a reading, I do have, I think, 2 slots still open. But otherwise, I've been pretty booked up and doing lots of readings in regards to that. But what really caught my attention this past week in particular was all the sort of craziness that was going on in financial news. Did you catch the Reddit stuff and the stock market stuff?
Oh
there?
My God! Reddit killed it.
Oh my God!
Reddit killed the stock market. I couldn't believe it. The hedge funds
Reddit
went down.
Oh my God! Yeah, Reddit versus the hedge fund. Someday, people are going to talk about like this stuff in textbooks, and they're like, "Where were you when the Reddit uprising happened?"
Yeah.
But it was fascinating to really see Reddit decide to take on this little small stock, GameStop, and really just kind of screw over the hedge fund. For people who weren't following, one hedge fund has gone bankrupt, officially gone bankrupt. They lost billions of dollars in what they were short selling. They're doing something really screwy in which they very deliberately bring the price of a stock down so that they could buy it at a cheaper rate. It's a very fucked up way of making money. It screws over ordinary people, any retail people involved in stocks, anyone in that regard. And what happened is Reddit band together, a bunch of just nerds on Reddit got together and they're like, no, we're gonna buy this stock and we're gonna hold on to it. In other words, pushing the stock up. And it was just a really fascinating moment. It's never happened before. But this is exactly what we mentioned at the beginning of this year and with the Great Conjunction.
Oh, God,
right? You're going to see this uprising of people. You're going to see labor movements. There was a strike in Chicago. The teachers are now going on strike. So we're in this moment where I think the pandemic has really brought into sharp relief how messed up so much of our systems are, and people are fed up. So 2021, watch this space. You're going to see people rise up. You're going to see these really fascinating and weird protest movements. I mean, this isn't people on the street. This is people on Reddit leading a financial uprising against hedge funds. I mean, if that's not Aquarius, I don't know what is.
Right. And it's, remember when we started on this cycle, and because I'm a Taurus, you're a Taurus, we're all sitting there going, oh shit, Uranus is going into Taurus.
Yep,
and
yep,
I wrote a whole
yep.
essay on Uranus and Taurus, right? And what would happen? Man, the fuck it's happening. I mean, it is fucking happening, folks. I mean, they should pin a gold medal on my chest, but I'm telling you, and I want to give a shout out also to somebody I don't always agree with. And all y'all know, I don't always agree with you. I heard the chuckle. I don't always agree with my good friend across the aisle, William Stick Evers. Right. Did I say that with enough Biden gravitas? My good friend across the aisle. Maybe I was a little more Bernie Sanders when I said that. But William and I polled apart politically, but we've been good friends for so many years. But he called it too. He
over a year and a half ago, our Uranus and Taurus episode.
Right. On our Uranus and Taurus. Now, I'll tell you, he didn't call the election. He missed that prediction. He thought Trump would win. Well, he can go to his grave thinking Trump got, well, whatever. We're not going to talk about that. It's over. But he was classically It just let it go, you know. But he was classically astrologically correct, and we talked about the whole stock market. Now, he perceived it as crash, and I said, no, revolution, right?
Yes,
and we talked about it, and he goes, well, crash, revolution, and I'm going, yeah, revolution, crash, but wow. And you were in on this, too. We nailed it, man, And seriously, go back and listen to that show, folks. It was something else, and we were right on the fucking money. And this whole thing, now we've got, just to add to the chaos, we've now got Mercury retrograde in Aquarius, which is the ruler of Uranus. You know, you could just sit there and wave your hands and go, help, help. You know, how can you even explain this to non-astrologers? Someday, Ollie, you and I should just have an astrology show.
Seriously. It's been like a 1-2 punch the past few years. You've got that Uranus and Taurus, then you've got this great conjunction. It's like it's really kind of
bang, 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 after the other.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like those little short sharp jabs they take when they're punching at a practice, you know, pap, 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 pap. Yeah, that's what it's like. Everybody's getting jabbed. And I'm telling you, folks, it's not over yet. Okay? Not over yet. Now, that's kind of going to bring us a little bit to our guest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been talking in terms of the Western Zodiac. And the Western view of the planets, which some people call the Babylonian, right? Babylonian zodiac, Babylonian view of the planets, Chaldean, the Chaldean zodiac. I mean, it's different than the Mayan. It's different than the Chinese. They all look at the same stuff more or less, and they see it more or less the same, but they also have a little bit of their own little thing. Just as an example, what we call Gemini the twins, the Mayans call the copulating peccaries. Okay, put that in your head, and you can understand it's the same thing. It's just different, right? so what we talk about, Ollie and I are both sort of classic astrologers in the Middle Eastern way, right? Is that would you agree on that, hon? Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. But we have with us today Miss Athena, who has trained in Chinese feng shui, which makes use of Chinese astrological patterns, Chinese lunation calendar. Y'all have heard of the Chinese New Year. She's going to bring us some interesting tidings about that later in the show. I want you all to settle back. We're going to talk about feng shui. First, I'm going to bring on Miss Athena. She's going to tell us a little bit about what she's doing and catch us up to date. What are you up to, Miss Athena? And
welcome. Well, I've been
to the
very busy. First of all, it's great to talk to you all again. It's been a while since I've been on the show, so I've missed you all.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. It's been a very, very busy time for me, and I've got lots of clients who are now asking more and more for feng shui, and many in the Asian community here in New York who are preparing for the Lunar New Year, which is going to start on February the 12th. So they're doing a lot of work to reassess, reevaluate what's happening and what's going to happen once the calendar changes. So it's a very timely topic for us, and it's very timely in terms of the kind of work that I've been doing a lot of lately for clients. But beyond that, I've been doing very well. Mercury retrograde is already off to a rough start all day. I've been dealing with technology issues. We are also anticipating a very big snowstorm starting tonight. So we're going to be snowed in probably for the next day at least. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the electronics stay on and my technology does not give out to the weather. So I'm just preparing for, you know, the worst. I have loads of candles. But, yeah, otherwise I'm doing really well and very, very busy.
You mentioned something here. I just got to throw out a little bit of marker on this one, too. Mercury went retrograde yesterday, and I was on Hoodoo Psychics. I go on Hoodoo Psychics every Saturday. I got 15 hang-up calls. These were not people
mm-hmm.
hanging up. This was the system logging no input. Phone would ring, pick it up, deadline. No tone, no message, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people called back. It wasn't like the system was broken. If they called back three or four times, they'd finally get through, right? And some gave up after one time because it said, we tested it, the message was that
mm-hmm.
I had disconnected, but I hadn't disconnected. So
mm-hmm.
that was Mercury retrograde getting off to a rough start, and it cost me money, and it cost me, you know, the appreciation of my clients because they thought I was hanging up on them, which I was not.
No.
So
no.
just to... You know, and I talked it over with Deacon Millett. He said they don't even know what happened. It happened to other people, too. I mean, I wasn't the only
mm-hmm.
one. But that's Mercury retrograde in Aquarius. We're all going to watch it.
Yeah.
We're all going to look at it. It's going to be a rough one. Some are easy. Some are rough. This will be a rough one. And, of course, being a Taurus, Uranus and Taurus, I have the Uranus rising in my chart, and I have Mercury conjunct my Sun in Taurus. So, yeah, I'm a little more vulnerable than most. But if you got any of if that resonates with you, watch out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So let's get into feng shui. Now, first of all, first thing that people always ask is, why is it spelled feng shui? Well, that's just how it is, folks. Get used to it. It is not feng shui, okay? Just if you ever heard someone say, I practice feng shui, you know they don't know what the fuck they're talking about, okay?
No.
All right. It's pronounced feng shui. All right.
Right.
That was step number one. Step number two, feng shui, if I'm not mistaken, means wind and water. It's a literal translation of the words wind and water. And it began as a way of looking at nature and determining what were the best places on the land to place architecture, to place fields, to place gardens, and to place cemeteries and so forth. Now, as people have occupied more and more of the land, feng shui has became involved with more about how to plan urban areas. And then it became involved with how to plan your apartment. So
mm-hmm.
feng shui can be seen at many levels, sort of granular levels, but it started and always must be appreciated as the beauty of nature first and where humanity fits into nature as these flows of energy current caused by wind and water flow over the earth. And once you understand that, then people say, oh, I put my rice cooker in the southwest corner of my kitchen. And you go, what are they talking about? Their rice? You know, it's like, you go, what? But that's just going down at a finer and finer and finer level. You could even arrange everything on your desk according to feng shui. It can go down to, you can arrange pebbles in a box according to feng shui, because it's like fractal geometry. It is a big view, and then it gets finer and finer and finer. So that's my intro to it. Understand, though, that no matter what level you're looking at it, you're always looking at the flow of energy. All right, now I'm going to turn this over to, and I hope I did that justice, Miss Athena.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Perfect. No, that's absolutely right. It's an ancient philosophy that really seeks to find balance and harmony between people, between humankind and the natural world. And so you're absolutely right on its evolution. This was first chronicled 3,000 years ago. So it's been around for a very long time, and there's a lot to it to survive that kind of time. It really is about trying to ensure that we live in harmony with the outer world. And at the heart of feng shui is the belief that all the good things in our lives, our health, physical, mental health, our success, our good and healthy relationships, all of these come to us through the positive flow of a natural energy source, which is called qi, C-H-I, or Q-I. In Chinese, it's that natural energy, and it exists all around us. And the idea of feng shui is to harness and direct the flow of that qi so it can move freely and also calmly around us and create balance in the spaces we live in, the spaces we work in, and therefore improving our lives. So that's the whole goal of feng shui, is to bring this energy into focus and direct it in a healthy and productive way. And you're absolutely right that this principle can be applied to the architectural design and arrangement of whole buildings and even cities. Much of Singapore, much of Hong Kong is arranged in regard to feng shui principles. But as individuals, we most often associate feng shui to interior design, specifically the placement of furniture and objects, the use of color, the use of shapes, the use of the elements in bringing that harmony within our home. And so I want to focus today's conversation mostly on that interior design, the use of feng shui within our homes, because I think that's probably what people are going to most often do when they apply this to their own lives. Before we get into it, I do want to just make a stop on the astrology discussion, because the dire prognostications that you have for 2021 also exist in the Chinese zodiac. We are entering the Lunar New Year on February the 12th, and that will be the year of the ox, most specifically the metal ox, because the elements of metal, air, fire, etc. are applied to the zodiac as well as to feng shui. The metal ox, this is going to be on a personal level, it's going to bring some positive rewards for hard work and dedication. So those of us who've been laboring away, trying to get ahead, are going to see some results of our hard work and dedication. There's no easy money. It's going to be a reward for putting the pedal to the metal and doing what you've needed to do to get through this past year. We will reap rewards this year. But on a collective community level, it is going to be a year where rivalries rise to the surface, and areas like politics and economics are going to be highly, highly ruthless. And we're already off to a start in that direction. So it's going to be a year of some adversarial relationships on a macro level. So we have that to look forward to. But with that doomsday prognostication, let's talk about good stuff. Let's talk about using feng shui to enhance and improve our lives through the use of placement of furniture, objects, etc. And I have a tutorial. I've hosted a web page on my website, and I'm going to post the link in the chat room in a little bit, because it's going to help everyone figure out how to apply the feng shui energy map to their own home. But before we get into that, I think it might be useful just to talk in basic principles, some of the few essential rules, if you will, of feng shui that you can think about when you think about your home and what's in your home. There are some essential rules. And first and foremost, and here's where I'm going to sound like everyone's mother, clear your home of clutter. Because as you say, wind and water, you know, feng shui is all about the free flow and the positive flow of that energy source, that chi. You want it to flow through your home unfettered and unblocked. And if your home is full of clutter, it's going to just create roadblocks and energy is not going to flow and you're going to find yourself stagnant. So first and foremost, clear the clutter. And this is especially important at the entrance to your home, which is considered the mouth of chi. This is where that energy enters your space. Make sure it's free of clutter. Make sure that your windows and doors all open easily and without difficulty. These are some basic things that if you do nothing else, this will help enhance your good luck and positive energy in your home. Free flow of energy coming into your home, clear away the clutter. Another basic rule of feng shui that you will hear a lot about if you read about it, and I practice both the traditional model, the compass model, the compass school, but it, for the exercises today, I'm using the Western version, which is simplified. So we don't need to worry about compass positions like the rice cooker in the southwest corner. It's about the relationship of everything in your home to the entrance of either that home or that room. Everything is coordinated in relationship to that entrance. So it keeps it simple for our purposes here. Okay, so we have this principle of the commanding position. And you want to at all times be in the commanding position of the room that you're in. And this means configuring the layout of your furniture so that you have a clear line of sight to the entrance of whatever room you're in. You don't want to sit with your back to the doorway. And this is especially important in three central areas of your home, which is where you sleep, where you work, and where you prepare food for nourishment. So where you sleep, the position of your bed is probably the most important thing in your home. You want to position your bed so you can easily see the entrance of your bedroom. You don't want to be vulnerable and have to crane your neck to see the entrance. You want to have a commanding view of that. But, which means you want your bed to be against the opposite wall of your entrance doorway. But you don't want it to be in direct line of that doorway so that your feet are facing out the door. That's called the coffin position, the death position. Because when somebody dies in their home, they get carried out feet first. So you want to be offset, but you want to be on the opposite wall. So make sure that when you think about where your bed is placed in your bedroom, that it's on the opposite wall and has a clear view of the entrance to that room. Clear away any storage that's under the bed. You want that chi to move freely while you sleep. You want it to be beneficial. And the head of your bed should be up against a solid wall, not a window, because chi flows in and out of windows, and that is too much energy for restful sleep. So you want to be up against a solid wall. Your head of the bed wants to be up against a solid wall, so you're supported by that solid wall so that you're sleeping well and peacefully. And if you can't avoid having to have your bed, the head of your bed against a window, make sure you have a solid bed frame and headboard so that there's a big solid wall that you've created for yourself, and make sure that that headboard is firmly attached to your bed. This is probably the most important principle out of everything we can talk about today that's going to secure a better, restful result in terms of getting good energy flow in your home. So that's the position of your bed, number one. And the position of your work desk, many of us are working from home. You want that to be in the command position, too. You want to be able to sit at your chair, at your desk, and look up and see the entrance. Once again, not in direct line, but offset, but you want to see the entrance. So you don't want your back to that door. If you can't help it, if you have to face your desk and face a wall as you work, hang a little mirror in front of you so you can look up and see behind you. So you will still have a commanding view of the entrance, and you will not be subject to any kind of surprise coming from behind you. You want to be in the command position. And also make sure your desk chair has a very firm back to it for support, because that's going to support you as you work. This is just energy, all right? So your work desk, that's the number two. And then the final one, the number three area that you want to be in the commanding position of is your stove as you cook. Ideally, your stove, your cooktop would be on a kitchen island so you can cook and look up, or something where you can look straight up and see the entrance to your room, to that kitchen area. Most people can't move their stove to a new area. That takes an awful lot of renovation. So once again, if you're forced to cook and look at the wall, put a mirror. I have that in front of my stove. I have a mirror there so that I can look into it and see what's behind me. And it has the added benefit of doubling the food on your cooktop so that you're doubling. It's a symbolic thing, but it matters. You're doubling the nourishment of your family, but you're giving yourself a command position as you cook. And while we're at it, make sure you use your stove at least once a day, even if it's just to boil water, because you want to keep that energy active. Okay, your stove is critical. So those are the three areas.
So you have to light
for,
and use it once a day.
Make sure it's clean and in good working order, but use it once a day, even if you just boil a pan of water. Very important.
You know,
but
this
this
brings me to I was raised among Cantonese Chinese immigrants, and there's a strong belief in the kitchen god, and there are plaques. I actually sell these plaques at Lucky Mojo, you know, for the kitchen god. And respect for the kitchen god is essential to Canton. I don't know about other parts of China because I wasn't raised among people from other places, but people from Guangdong province or their grandparents or parents came from Guangdong province, the kitchen god was like a really important deity to them, and it still is.
The idea of food, you know, this is where you nourish yourself and your family, and how you nourish yourself directly reflects how you move in the world and how you're seen in the world. And so you want to optimize your nourishment, and you want to optimize the area where you cook and also where you eat. If you're working on your you know, from your dining room table, many of us don't have a home office. So if we have a dining table or a kitchen table, we've commandeered that for work. Clear it off and make sure you sit and eat there on a clear area, and try and use that dining table at least a few times a week, because the more often that you dine at your actual dining table, that helps to invite new friends and helpful people into your home. So these, you know, this is as much a superstition as it is a philosophy, and using, making good use of the elements in your home that are designed for that use are really, really important.
It fascinates me that the understanding of energy is so different from sometimes what we see in so-called Western. And I use this as a very, for lack of a better term, right, because I don't know what the hell Western exactly means sometimes. But, you know, it's very different from it. You, when you look at sort of Western traditions around energy, it's about possessing energy, about controlling energy, about owning energy. So you can you see it in the language, right? It's about collection, accumulation. It's about owning, right? Whereas when you're talking about feng shui, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I'm the student here when it comes to feng shui. I don't know as much as you do. So it seems to me that it's far more about flow, about being able to be in the flow and working with rather than trying to possess control. It's a very different understanding of manipulating and working energy. It's much more holistic, much more natural, much more working with the flow of the energy and saying, look, we can bring blessings this way. When we talk about blessings in other traditions, it's about accumulating that blessing, accumulating or possessing that good luck. It's a very different kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
And that really strikes me as fascinating here.
Yeah, I agree. It is fascinating. That energy is going to flow regardless of what you do. And
right.
it has a natural right to be there. And mm-hmm. all we can do is try and ensure that we live in harmony with it. So it is about coexistence. It's not possession. I think that's an excellent point that you made. It's not about
mm-hmm.
ownership. It's not about control.
Mm-hmm.
It's about directing it so that we can live in harmony with it and that it
mm-hmm.
doesn't destroy us. You know, if you think of a rushing river, a straight river,
mm-hmm.
you know, water is nourishing. Water is positive. But if you're at the mouth of a river that's rushing towards you, that energy can be very destructive because it is
mm-hmm.
a straight line. It has nowhere to go but come right at you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the goal in feng shui is to try and direct that flow. We're not stopping it. We're not owning
mm-hmm.
it. We're trying to direct it so it's not destructive but constructive. So if you think
mm-hmm.
of a winding river, you know, that water flows gently, and it's lovely to
right.
be near. In feng shui, we care very much about, the path of energy and
mm-hmm.
ensuring that it doesn't hurt us. Like if your home is situated, for example, at the mouth of a T-shaped intersection,
mm-hmm.
I grew up in such a house. And the flow of energy coming up that long arm of the T coming straight at your house is negative chi. It's called
mm-hmm.
sha chi, S-H-A-R. It's like a poison arrow aimed right at
mm-hmm.
you. It has a right
mm-hmm.
to be there, but it can hurt you if you don't do something about it. And so we talk very often about remedies and cures in feng shui, and if you find yourself at the mouth of a T-shaped intersection like that, put a concave mirror above
mm-hmm.
your door or in a window facing that T-shape. The concave is the one that sort of bows outward, and
mm-hmm.
it redirects. It pushes that energy right back where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful of those kind of mirrors because you don't want to use that like on a neighbor that's giving you trouble. It's too
mm-hmm.
much because you're just bouncing their aggression back at them and they're going to throw it back at you. And before you know it, you're in a ping pong match of aggression. You know, for
mm-hmm.
that neighbor, you'd use a concave mirror that bows inward so that you capture and diffuse, neutralize that
mm-hmm.
energy. So there are cures like that for energy that's coming at you, that flow of energy. You're not trying to possess it. You're simply trying to direct it in a way that
mm-hmm.
optimizes your own well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So,
This brings up the topic which here on the West Coast, people sometimes call them, more Mandarin speakers are more likely to call them cures. When I was young, they were called remedies,
mm-hmm.
feng shui remedies.
Mm-hmm.
And I first noticed this in a restaurant when I was a kid. I was sitting in a restaurant, and it was a Chinese restaurant, needless to say. and there was an arch that went into another room. In other words, the restaurant wasn't laid out very well. It was not optimum for a restaurant. There was a front area with booths and tables, and then there was another area. And people, of course, didn't want to sit back there. They felt they wouldn't get the service from the waitress or whatever it was. The light was a little different. Maybe it had been intended as a banquet room, but this restaurant didn't do enough business to have banquets. And so this other room was kind of odd. And they would always try to shove people to go into that other room. Why don't you sit back here? No, I'd really rather sit up front where the sun's shining. You know, it was kind of a doomed room. You know what I'm saying? And you could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in restaurant as a kid. My parents owned a restaurant. You go, no, this is bad. They should have just ripped the wall out. Right? I mean, it was wrong. But over the arch that led to this other room, there was a plastic bag filled with water.
Hmm.
And I looked at this for a long time and I thought, why is that there? I thought, are they trying to attract flies maybe and then they can kill the flies? I mean, I went through a million guesses. What are they doing with this? Why is there just a little plastic sandwich bag full of water up there? And I probably ate there at that place, you know, 10, 15 times before I finally got the courage to ask the waitress, why is that water up there? And she goes, oh, it's a remedy. That room that room has problems. It's a remedy for that room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not the person who did it. She said nothing more than it was a remedy. And so I thought, what does she mean? It's a remedy. I mean, it's like, so I said, what do you mean? It's a remedy for the room. And she goes, oh, well, there's this thing. It's called feng shui. And, you know, the room is there. There's problems with this building. Right? And I'm like, oh, okay. Now, she's still saying problems with the building. And I'm thinking, plumbing? Feng shui? What is feng shui? Mm. Right? And, but eventually I understood what she was saying. And then she didn't say much more. So I went home and looked it up. This is a long time ago. And I went, okay, I get it. There was something that she had called, that made me open to the big world, and this is where you come in, you know, that there were people who were what you might call practitioner, not even practitioners, root doctors. They were doctors of feng shui. This restaurant had hired somebody to come there and analyze it and put up a remedy. Right, and I just opened my mind to this whole thing that was going on all around me in all these Chinese restaurants I'd never even noticed. Right?
Yeah,
I
mean,
so
we could talk until
around.
Tuesday. Yeah, we can talk until Tuesday, and not even scratch the surface of this subject because it's very very deep. And that was likely salt water. They likely put salt in that water and hung it because salt is purifying. So something was some kind of negative energy was hitting them from that direction, and that's likely what they did. Yeah.
Fascinating.
So,
fascinating.
Yeah. So what I would love to do, I just put a link in the chat room for a page on my website where I've started a little tutorial, and hopefully you all can see it. It may need to be done. I'll do it again as. I just entered it again, because what I'd like to do is help everyone figure out now how to apply feng shui principles to your home. I gave you some ideas about furniture and the key areas in your home, but another key principle of feng shui states that every area of our home will correspond to a vital area of our lives, like health, knowledge, wealth, relationships. And the way we figure out which areas of our space correspond to which areas of our life, we use an energy map called a Bagua, B-A-G-U-A, which simply means eight sides. It's usually done as an octagon. In our exercise today, I've just made it a rectangle to make it easier. But hopefully you can open up that link, and you'll see let me know if you're in there and that you see the page that has, it starts with just a basic floor plan of a home, okay? And you're going to start for yourself by sketching out a similar floor plan for your home. And if you have more than one story to your house, work from the main floor where you do most of your living and eating, et cetera, okay? So here's just a typical floor plan for the Western school of feng shui, the black sect tantric Buddhic school of feng shui. It's a mouthful. We don't use compass points. We just orient, as I said, everything to your main entrance. And by main entrance, I mean the entrance that you use most often. It may not be your actual front door. So if you enter your home mostly through the garage or a side door, that becomes your main entrance.
I've got to jump in because I wanted to hear what you said, and you spoke very quickly. You called it the Western Black something.
It's the Black Sect Tantric Buddhist School.
Thank you. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. And that just orients everything in relation to the front door. It's the easiest, simplest way, and that's most Western feng shui has adopted this. I also use a compass school, and we're going to use the compass in our free spell at the end. But right now, for the purposes of figuring out the Bagua map for your home, orient everything on your main entrance and make sure the wall that contains your main entrance is going to be at the bottom of the floor plan that you sketch out. So it may be on the right side of your home, but just rotate your map and make that your bottom wall. So your main entrance is going to be at the bottom, and then sketch out everything in accordance to how it relates. If you look at that bedroom in the upper right corner, just as a point of reference, see how that bed is offset from the entrance? That's the perfect location for that bed. Yeah. Now, you're going to create a map like this. You're not going to do it now in the next 2 minutes, but you're going to want to do this. And I'm going to leave this page up on my website indefinitely so you have future reference here if you want to come back and revisit. But you're going to make a floor plan, okay, for your living space. Very, very simple, and your main entrance being on the bottom wall. Now, if we scroll down,
I got a question.
Yes.
Okay. You said if you have more than one story in your house, you're going to go from the bottom floor. But what if you don't use the bottom floor of your house? You have
your
it,
main
you don't
floor,
use it.
The main floor. Your, the main floor that
so
you use.
So if you live upstairs in your house, you draw the from the upstairs, and the entrance would be the head of the staircase, right?
Correct.
Okay, just want to make sure it's all relative here. Okay.
It's all relative. The main entrance to that floor. Okay? So you're going to sketch this out. If you're not using the bottom floor, if it's, you know, basement area, whatever, you know, these sectors are going to apply to all floors, but map it out according to the main floor that you use. Okay? So we're going to now on figure two start to sketch out. As I said, I made it a rectangle. It's classically an octagon, but this just shows you there are eight areas on the outside perimeter of your space and one directly in the middle. So a total of nine, okay, nine key sectors in the Bagua map. So now you see how we're starting to break it out. And if we scroll down to the final image, image number three, this is the Bagua map. So this shows all the areas of your living space and the conditions, the areas of your life that they correspond to. So, for example, the from your main entrance, that far left corner will always be your wealth corner. That's where you can activate that area to bring in money, abundance, prosperity. The far right corner is relationships, mostly romantic, but it could also be about relationships in business. But primarily it's used for romance. But you see how you've got all the key areas of your life are sorted out and assigned to a section in your home. So, for example, the bedroom, the main bedroom number one in this home is in the relationship corner. That's very fortuitous. Because you can now add elements, and you see each of these has an element assigned to it, earth, fire, wood, water, and metal. And relationships, as an example, is governed by the element of earth. And it also is governed by square shapes. That's a very auspicious shape to bring into that area. And the color for relationships is pink. Not unlike in hoodoo, pink for romance, right? When we look at candle color,
right?
You want pink. Red for fire, for passion. That belongs in your reputation sector because that's about illumination. It's about being seen brightly. So we activate that energy with the use of red and fire elements. It's a good place for a fireplace, the triangle, pyramid, things that move upward because you want your relation, your reputation to always rise. So you can activate these areas in your life by bringing in these elements, either through through an element of water. Water is for your career sector. You see down at the bottom. It's governed by wavy lines. It's a great place for like a water feature. And, you know, because you want your career to be ever flowing and evolving. So if you study this map and you see, you know, the colors are very key and the shapes are very specific to each area and the elements are specific, you'll notice a pattern. Knowledge, health, and relationships are all earth elements. Because those are that's the place in your life that you need the most grounding and stability. And earth is the grounding and stable energy. and square is the shape that brings that to life.
Mm-hmm.
Wealth and family, you see, are wood, because that's about expansion, growth.
Mm-hmm.
You want to grow your wealth. You want to grow your family. You know, children and benefactors. Benefactors is also known as helpful friends.
Mm-hmm.
This is the place of optimization. You know, you
mm-hmm.
optimize your life through the extension of your life to your children and by embracing helpful friends. It's optimization, and that's governed by metal. So there's a trend here when you look at it, but each of them is very, very specific to that condition area in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So as
wow.
an example, if you wanted to bring in a new love interest, a new partner, you can
mm-hmm.
put some pink flowers in a square ceramic vase and put
mm-hmm.
that in your relationship corner. That will help energize that area in your life, bring more luck to that area of your life by using these principles of feng shui.
So I've got a couple of questions. And
yeah.
first of all, I want to congratulate you. Your layout here is very clear. I hope everyone listening to this radio show does go to the page. Now, this is at GothamConjure.com, and I hope there's some link, you know, because if people are listening
there
to
is.
This and they don't have, you know, whatever,
if,
but they
if
can
you
find
went
it.
To, oh, I sorry to interrupt, but if you do go to that main page, GothamConjure.com, in the menu bar at the top of the page, at the very right, it says Feng Shui Tutorial. That's
okay,
another
great.
Way of getting to this page.
Good. Feng Shui Tutorial
mm-hmm.
at GothamConjure.com. Mm-hmm. Now, my question is, what if the house you live in isn't square or rectangular,
mm-hmm.
if it's
mm-hmm.
L-shaped? What do you
mm-hmm.
do with that little piece that's the L? Let's say the L was where your career is on that map. You have
yes.
no career because you're living in an L-shaped house.
Yep.
What do you do?
Well, that's a very, very common thing because most places are not rectangular like this. Most places will have what we call a missing sector or a missing
mm-hmm.
area. And have no fear. You know, if, for example, that relationship corner were absent altogether, it doesn't mean you'll never have a relationship for as long as you live there. It just means you have to get creative, and here's where the cures come into play. I helped a client with that. You can plant red flowers outside in the yard, outside in that sector that's missing.
So
mm-hmm.
if
you can add
a missing,
wind
let's
chime.
Say you had a typical, you know, ranch house, California ranch house, you have no career sector,
mm-hmm.
that's the bottom center, and you have no benefactors, that's the bottom right. So you have
mm-hmm.
an L-shaped house. Now, those mm-hmm. are water and wavy and metal and
mm-hmm.
round. So I immediately
mm-hmm.
think, okay, a garden with a water feature with
mm-hmm.
maybe some sort of round metal sculpture in it? Is that,
yep.
did that work?
Perfect. Perfect. You can attach them to the side of the house as sculptures on the house. You can put them in a garden. And,
mm-hmm.
and create exactly, as you say, a metal sculpture in your garden. Perfect. Perfect.
I get
and
it.
You can add a water feature there. You can have a koi pond, for example, and put a water put a metal sculpture around that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cure.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about feng shui is there is a cure for everything. Some are very simple. Some are very elaborate. But
mm-hmm.
if it's missing, if an area is missing in your home, there's a fix for that. Yeah.
Wow. Now,
yeah.
this layout of the grid of nine, and you mentioned it was a bagua originally, so it would have been
mm-hmm.
really eight, right? And presumably the center would have been health,
mm.
right?
Yes, yes.
Is that correct?
The bagua will have that center of health, too. Even
right.
though it's called a bagua, eight sectors, the center of your home is always you, and it represents your health, your well-being.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got a question because I'm just a curious person. So in traditional compass-oriented feng shui, which is what I know the most about because that's what I learned about when, you know, talking to my neighbors and stuff, these colors and these shapes, this is new
mm-hmm.
to me. Does that mm-hmm. come out of the Western, what you said it was, black sect?
Black sect. This is traditional. Yes, the shapes, the elements, the colors, all of that is traditional. And that will exist in the compass school, in the ancient traditional school. They still have these elements. The only thing that changes between the traditional and the Western is the use of compass points to identify the area in your life that corresponds with that area in your home.
I see. So that's
right?
when they were telling me to put your rice cooker in the southwest corner.
Yeah.
That was specific to that house because of the way that house was oriented.
Exactly.
And in fact, I remember them saying it was in the wealth sector because, and I believe what I was told was that it wasn't that it was about food and family. It was cooking rice. Your wealth will grow like the rice swells up and you keep it warm and it'll heat and so forth. And your rice cooker must be there in that corner. And you'll have more money in the house. It's a money house
blessing. Exactly, yeah. That's a money house blessing. Exactly right. But that was specific to the Compass location.
Compass school,
and,
got it.
Yeah,
fantastic.
That's the Compass school, the ancient school. And I still use that. I just felt that for the purpose of simplification and not just blowing everybody's minds to bits, we can leave that out. But you can always apply that and say the front door is located in the – mine is located in my northwest – exactly in my northwest corner.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything else gets oriented – around the northwest is the entrance to my home. And so then the Bagua map becomes specific to compass bearings. Here it's just specific to the relationship to your door.
And this is – I'm getting why this developed, because when people are in apartments and in smaller areas that are confined areas, they really are individualistically orienting to their local space. Again, this is about talking about the granular micro level as opposed to the large macro level. I had a friend once, a guy named Bill Mollison. He was the inventor of something called permaculture. He was a pretty well-known guy in his day, and he had a lot to say about feng shui. One time we were talking, and he said, feng shui, he goes, I love it. He goes, the only thing wrong, he was a very left-wing guy. He said, the only thing wrong with feng shui, it was invented for emperors. And what he meant was, because it was about situating palaces, right? And he, but that conversation was, he was discussing, this was in Australia, and he was discussing traditional Chinese feng shui in which a guy comes out with what's called a Lo Pan compass, and he's like walking around and making all these diagrams and everything like that. And he goes, the only emperors can afford that, he said.
I do that sometimes. In fact, I have a commercial client that has hired me to map out, because they're reorganizing their office for when people come back, and they want to ensure optimal feng shui, and I use my compass for that, because there's an awful lot of twists and turns, and I want to get it right, specifically to their office. So, yeah, the Western School, because there's no compass involved, doesn't mean it's any less efficient or effective. It's all based on the same principles of feng shui. It's just location is determined a little differently.
It's
when
relativism.
We get into it's relativism. When we do our spell at the end, it's going to be important, and I'll park this in people's minds. Find out where your southeast corner is, because we're going to talk about that. These
good
areas, offer. Wealth, yeah, wealth, relationships, et cetera, these are fixed positions. These will not change year after year after year.
I got to say something. Folks, you do have a smartphone, and your smartphone has a compass. Remember this, okay? I am tired of telling my clients, so when you wake up and take your bath, face the rising sun, and they go, well, what do you mean the rising sun? And I'm like, the east. And they go, huh?
Yeah. Where is it?
Where is it? I said, my classic, haven't you ever noticed that the sun always rises kind of at the same place every day? No, I never noticed that. 35-year-old woman. No, I never noticed that. The sun always rises in the same place. Huh? So, but it's on your phone now. You don't need to think about it.
Super simple.
But that reminds me, are there any feng shui apps that you can get?
There are feng shui apps. There are several that do give you compasses. There are some that also look for electromagnetic fields, which can impact your energy. I can certainly recommend some, and I'll find them, and I'll post them in the chat room that's preserved on the forum. I can add them there. And so people can have a reference. I don't have access to them exactly at this moment. And I think I heard the music. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I barely heard
over
it.
Time.
I didn't hear it. I never heard it. It wasn't loud enough for old ears like mine.
Mm.
All right, so listen, we're done, but boy, that was good. And I apologize for running over. Let's get to our client, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood, Conjure Man, and this week's special guest, Miss Athena. Sorry about that. We'll be right back. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and talk to our client. Our client today is Jane Rain, calling from area code 323. Jane Rain, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent.
Hello.
Thank you so much for giving... Hi. Thank you so much for giving us a call today. And it appears that you have not had a reading with Conjure Man, Miss Cat, or our guest today. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm going to quickly read your brief synopsis. And Jane Rain writes, Mercury retrograde. I'm looking for advice on career matters in general. I feel confused about my job because many of the things I've asked for have been provided, but I still feel anxious. I have side projects, but none provide income. Any advice or direction would be helpful. Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, talk about Mercury retrograde. I just got a little message here in the thing that says Jane Rain left the conversation.
Oh, no, I'm here. You're here.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you. All right.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to reset the chat. I got stuck on something. Sorry about that. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Wow. All right. So you're on the phone, but you're not in the chat. Okay. All right. Boy, I'm telling you. Well, it would be help. Get back in the chat if you can, sweetheart. That would
yes,
be helpful.
I'm loading it up now. Okay.
You're loading it up. All right. Okay. So we're talking here about side projects, but none provide income, and you want career matters in general. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. What is the field, you know, the industry, the field in which your primary career is?
I'm a case manager in mental health and working with the homeless population. So I work in a permanent supportive housing situation under social worker.
Okay. And what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, nice. Okay. Nice. All righty. Well, let's see. I think we're going to ask for Conjure Man to do the first reading. We're going to have Athena do the second reading, and I'll give you some root work advice, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Kat. So I've pulled three cards here, and they speak to your situation quite strongly. The very first card is the Death card, and it is a card that shows the figure of Death riding on a pale horse, holding a flag and marching relentlessly forward, unerringly forward. And before this horse has fallen, pauper and prince alike, faithful and faithless alike. There's actually a figure of a papal figure trying to stop the horse or beseeching death, but death is unmoved. There is something that needs to come to an end, and it may be the need to end one career and move elsewhere. But death marches, and it marches in a way that you're unable to kind of stop it. But there's always hope, because if you look at the back of the card, you will see the sun rising, an indication that there is light that comes after the darkness. This is not a card of resurrection. It's not a card of transformation. It is the card of things coming to an end. And so you will need to, you're in a state of being lukewarm. And what death does is it gets you out of such states. We often talk about this with illness, right? When you're not right, death can be a release. And that's what's needed here, is a sort of release. Something that is holding you back, it must come to an end. It must be removed, and when you do that, you will find that your life will open up. For the next card that we have is the Temperance card, and this is you moving out of ending something and starting something new. It will require combining things. Here we have an archangel standing at the shore of a lake with 1 foot in the water, 1 foot out, wings spanned out, and pouring water between one cup and another. This will involve you finding a way of melding your interests together into something that produces both emotional fulfillment and financial stability. This is the key here, is that you can't, it's the idea that you need to have one but not the other is just not true. You can have it both. You should find a job that emotionally satisfies you, that gives you what you want, so that you're not feeling anxious. In your current job, you're getting the stuff that you sort of are asking for, but you're not feeling it. You're not quite there emotionally, spiritually, or whatnot. And so you have to ask yourself, where are you finding that emotional sucker from? Where are you finding that emotional fulfillment from? And that's where you need to go. And in turn, that place that is giving you what you desire emotionally can also give it to you materially. It can give you the financial support and stability that you are looking for. This card is also a card of alchemy, meaning that you should be doing some magical work that combines, that draws together, that brings things together. You should have some type of work that involves writing out your desires for emotional satisfaction and physical support, material financial support, and using that in your magical work in order to get what you want. It will take time, but again, it's interesting that if you look at this card and you look at the Death card, both of them have a sun in the background that is rising, an indication that you can be successful if you have the courage to walk down this path, walking away from what you need to walk away. And the final card that we have is the World card. It is a figure of success. It is a figure of triumph. It is a woman who is flying in the air, floating in the air, surrounded by a wreath, and that wreath in turn is being watched over by the four zodiacal animals, the human of Aquarius, the eagle of Scorpio, the lion of Leo, and the bull of Taurus. An indication here that you will receive what you want probably during the early summer months. So be aware that this might take a little bit of a process, but around end of July, early August is when I see this thing happening. You will be victorious. You will have actually multiple paths open up to you, and you'll have kind of a couple different options available, but it involves you first taking that leap of faith and ending what needs to be ended. This is what I see for you. I'm going to turn this over to Miss Athena, who's going to give you another reading, and then Kat will give you some root work advice.
Thank you, Conjurer.
Thank you also. And hi, Jane. Can I just ask before I get into the reading, is your current line of work what you initially set out to do for your career, or did you fall into it somehow?
It was a combination. I always have been a really helpful person, and I asked my spirit to help me get from physical to paperwork, and then I got a job as a case manager.
Okay.
But I used
okay.
to do more direct care kind of stuff.
Mm. And is that the direct care, working directly with people and helping them directly versus through paperwork and project management, is that direct care more in keeping with your where your heart is, where you feel fulfilled?
Yes, I still work with people for plans, but it's, yes, I still, I always like working directly with people. I just do well with people.
Okay. So what I see here, I'm reading the Lenormand, which is different from the cards that Contraman was reading, but it's giving me a rather similar kind of story, because what I see here in terms of where you are right now, what brought you to this place, is I have the card of the Anchor, which is about stability and security, but it's flanked by two cards that are a little, you know, one's disturbing, one's hopeful. The disturbing one is the Mice, which is about theft and loss. So your current position is really eating away at your sense of stability and security for yourself, for your future, giving you that feeling mm-hmm. that this is where I'm meant to be. All right, so, you know, it's telling you what you've told us. But the other card on the other side of it is the card of the snake. And there are two meanings to every card, and the meaning for the snake that I'm reading here is the card of transformation. A snake will shed its skin when it's outgrown its old skin. And that's the process you're going through, which is why you're feeling uneasy and anxious about the work you're doing and not satisfied completely, because you're going through this transformation and finding what really is going to feed your soul. And so this is giving us a very clear snapshot that what you're feeling, you're meant to go through, because it's part of growing out of your past. Where mm-hmm. you can then go and move it into a more positive place, a place of better completion for you, is doing a lot of networking. I have the card of the garden and the card of the dog. The garden is about where we socialize and where we meet other people virtually or otherwise, but in business sense, it's about networking. And the dog is the card of friendship and loyalty. So network with the people you know in the business, in the industry, and talk to them about what it is that you're ultimately looking for. They can help you define what you're looking for. Just by sounding it out with other people can bring your desired work into better focus for you. Okay, and then finally here I have that card of magic, the clover, which indicates that magic can help you with clarity to bring into focus what it is that you ultimately could be doing that's going to excite you and bring out your passion. So there's a green light here to do some magic, and ultimately it ends with the ring, which is the card of commitment. So I think if you combine those mundane and magical efforts of networking and reaching out to people and at least sounding out the kinds of things you're looking for, it's going to bring it into sharper focus for you. Do the magic that's going to bring more clarity and also bring opportunities for work towards you too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's what I see.
Wow.
Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Okay.
You're
I've
welcome.
Got a question that I just have a random question here. You said that in addition to your career, there were other projects that interested you. What are those other projects?
Well, I have a podcast that targets the LGBT community, which I'm a part of. It doesn't really make that much money, but
But you see, okay, stop. Thank you. That was enough. And I tell you, because I got limited time here. That card of the world, see, bingo, that card of the world is this woman dancing in this wreath of laurel leaves of victory with the four animals around. That says something about personal fame. So, yeah, you can go there. You can do that. So I'm just going to say, so I'm going to give you some ideas here based on what we've got. We had clover. We had we want to stay away from the mice nibbling at you. That's always bad, right? We have the snake of transformation. Now, that's interesting, too, because that is one thing that the LGBT community knows a lot about, is being who you want to be. And I don't know, go look up Tiresias, okay? Just go look up Tiresias if you don't know already what I'm talking about, okay? There's a lot there to unpack in that symbolism, and the bay laurel leaves of wisdom. So I'd like you to make a mojo to carry, and that's going to put you into a new place, a place where you can be empowered to do what you want. First of all, you're going to be using, of course, bay laurel leaves, and there you can just put some of those in a mojo bag. You can use a little bit of bay leaf oil if you want to dress them and perk up their scent, but they don't need to. They're perfectly well-scented all on their own. I'd like you to put in some clover. You don't need to put in a four-leaf clover, but we can get to that in a moment. I'd like you to put in some snake sheds. A lot of people in the old days used snake skin. You had to skin a snake. Nah, snake shed, and that is what Miss Athena was talking about. The snake sheds its skin and transforms itself. So you can get snake shed, and if you can,
go find, I mean, you could buy a piece of snake shed from any reputable hoodoo supply store, but I'm going to ask you to do something a little different. I want you to go find some local herpetologists and try to get a fairly complete snake shed. Now, you don't want one from a six-foot boa constrictor. You want a little snake shed because you're going to pack that into that bag, okay? And that is about you transforming yourself. Now, I want you to put in a coin in this bag. And the coin, of course, is for prosperity and for your money. But I'd like it also to be a coin that shows fame in a way that feels right for you. Now, your name, Jane Rain. Rain makes me think of queens. And so, hey, it might be a British Queen Elizabeth coin or a Canadian Queen Elizabeth coin. It could be a Sacagawea coin, a beautiful Native American woman who, you know, is famous. But you want a coin with a woman on it. Now, it could be a Mercury dime because although they're called Mercury dimes, they actually have a woman on them whose name is Liberty, and it was modeled by a woman. And she's so androgynous that people looking at that coin have often thought she was a young boy, but she was a woman. So it's a very good, the androgyny symbol of the Mercury dime is good. You're going to put these together and make a mojo bag. And I want you to, do you know how to make a mojo bag? How to put things together, how to dress and bless it?
No, but I will go on your site.
Well, I'll tell you, and I also have a book on it called The Art of Making Mojos. So, okay, you're going to get all these things together, and I'd like you to start with a small candle, and just a little 4-inch candle, a birthday candle light, a little white candle, and you can dress it with an oil. And I'd like you to use clarity oil, and I'd like you to mix it with prosperity, clarity and prosperity, because this is about your career and about having more than just a little money, but having a real career. And clarity so that you can see going forward. Put those herbs around it. Burn the candle. Don't burn the herbs, of course. I mean, you could, but I'm not going to have you do that. And then you're going to put them in a little bag. The bag can be a little piece of scrap of cloth that you just tie it up in a little ball with a string. It could be a little drawstring bag. It could be a little Chinese bag. It could be any kind of a little bag, leather pouch, whatever you like. But just make sure if it's a leather pouch, it's sealed, and you have to sew it shut because you don't want it leaking. I also want you to add to this two lucky stones, a pair of lucky stones. Now, lucky stones are actually called that, but they're not stones. They are actually the ear bones of fishes. It's so complicated in this world. And they're called lucky rocks or lucky stones, but they're fish otoliths, and they are used for love and for money. And they are the most revered for job getting of any of the old hoodoo ways of working. So you can put a pair of those in. Usually put in two. You always put in two. Your left-hand one and a right-hand one, and you can read all about them. And then I want you to put these in a mojo, and I want you to pray over it. Do you have a religion?
Uh-oh. No.
That's okay.
I grew up
okay.
Baptist. But
you grew up Baptist.
I'm
all right, well, we're just going to go all Baptist on you then. Baptist is good. So I'd like you to do the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? Mm-hmm. And it talks about how the Lord will lead you into green pastures. So this is going to open your way for you. And another herb I'm going to have you put in this mojo is called Althea. And Althea is an herb that causes you to be led with good spirits, only good spirits. They will lead you where you have to go. So you put all these herbs in. You don't need more than one bay leaf. You don't have to put in a whole, you know, and don't make this thing too big. Just put a little bit of whatever I mentioned into it. And that's it. You're just going to wear that and carry it. You can dress it with a little bit of perfume. Or you can dress it with Florida Water Cologne or Hoyt's Cologne. Carry that on you, and you will be led to where you have to go. That is it. All right. Whew. Let's say hi to Evan. And no, we're actually going to say hi to our
nope.
network schedule announcement. Boy, I'm out of it today. Sorry, folks.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays, 3 to 4:30; The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays, 5 to 6. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays, 1 to 2. and Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays 7 to 8. All times specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time to go to our free spell segment with Miss Athena of GothamConjure.com in New York. Take it away, Miss Athena.
Thanks, Evan. So by now you've all located the southeast corner of your home using your phone. This is going to be a throwback to the traditional school of feng shui because we are using compass bearings. It's also using the flying star school of feng shui. As I said, all those areas in your life, wealth, relationships, et cetera, are constant year over year. But every year on the Lunar New Year, there are 9 stars that come flying into our environment. 5 of them are helpful and beneficial. 4, not so much. And there's one in particular that's especially malicious. This is the number 5 flying star of calamity. And it's every bit as bad as it sounds, okay? This can destroy an area of your life. So find out where your southeast corner is and correspond that to your Bagua map. In my case, the southeast corner of my home is my relationships corner, which means that starting on the Lunar New Year on February the 12th, that area is going to be particularly vulnerable to malicious energy that's going to destroy relationships in my year. So we want to counter that effect, okay? So once you locate the southeast and you know which area of your life this is going to attack, here is a cure that's going to help you combat this destructive energy, all right? And it's a saltwater cure. It's a very simple cure, but it's very powerful. What you will need is a small non-metal bowl. So this can be glass, ceramic, et cetera, as long as it is not made of metal. A small bowl. You'll need some salt, filtered water, 3 metal coins. And for this, I use U.S. pennies. I like copper, and I like how copper and salt react together. But you can use those Chinese coins or any other metal coin, 3 small ones, and a small plate that's a little bit wider than the bowl, because you're going to set the bowl on top of this plate. You're going to fill the bowl about 2/3 full with salt. Salt is a purifier, a cleanser. And you're going to place the 3 coins face up on the salt, lay them down in the form of a triangle, and fill the bowl just below the rim with water. And set that on that plate, and now you're going to place it in a discreet location in your southeast corner where it can rest undisturbed. And you can conceal it behind a plant, behind a vase, a picture frame, so that guests in your home aren't going to look at it and say, what's going on here, or disturb it. Okay, you can hide it. Now, you want to keep the water level constant. You don't want to let this dry out. And what you're going to see happen over the course of the year, that salt is going to start to crust over. It's going to build up. It's going to fill the rim of the bowl. It's going to fall over onto the plate beneath it. That's a sign that this is taking that hit for you. It's taking that malicious energy and absorbing it and keeping it away from you. And what you may need to do over the course of the year is discard that whole bowl and salt and coins after it gets completely overrun with crusted over salt and start it all over again. You may need to do this several times during the year. It's going to depend on how much negativity it absorbs from that flying star of calamity. But it is really important that you get this salt water cure in that southeast corner of your home to help combat that malicious energy before it has a chance to attack and really destroy that area of your life, okay? I would recommend that you get this in place by the 4th of February because this malicious energy, when it arrives in the Lunar New Year, can manifest very, very quickly. So you want this in place so that it's prepared to take it on. And that's our spell.
Wow. Okay. Wow. And I'm going to tell you, remember
remember I mentioned the restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
And that there was a little bag of water hung up over there?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mention to you that there were three pennies in it.
Uh-huh.
And you said it probably was salt water. And I was like, well, I didn't even, I'm not going to get into that there were three pennies in that bag. But there were. Wow.
Yeah. It's the salt water cure.
Wow.
There was probably a flying star entering their space through that particular compass location. And it may have been the number five. It is the most malicious. It is the most feared. So if you do nothing else, and I know I've said that already with regards to other recommendations, but if you do nothing else, please do this cure. Super simple. You have the ingredients in your home. Super simple. Keep an eye on it. Make sure the water never dries out, and that if it overflows to the point of just being overrun, replace it. And I guarantee you'll have to do that at least once during the year, because this is a very malicious energy.
Wow.
Yeah. You want to protect that area of your life. Yeah. It's and you can do this in any room of your home where you spend a lot of time. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a room that's being attacked by a malicious flying star. You just want to absorb negativity. Let it take a hit for you. Right?
And this, by the way,
bedroom,
I mean this,
living room, yeah.
Yeah. This, of course, has correlations with European and African folk magic, too, in which salt is used for protection. We all have heard this. So, but amazing. Oh, what an amazing thing. Now, I'm going to ask you one more question here. Every year, you said that there are five good stars and four bad stars, right?
Yes.
Do they change during the course of the year where they are entering from?
No.
I mean, not in the
they
course
enter,
of the year. I mean, during, over the course of years.
Oh, every year they're going to come through a different direction. Every year.
And there's
this
a
past
way,
year.
There's
this,
a,
yeah,
so this is why we hire, this is why we hire Miss Athena to give us the reading for the year.
Yes. Mm. The Flying Star School of Feng Shui. This past year, that malicious star was directly in the south, and it moves to the southeast for 2021, Lunar New Year. Starting on the 12th.
Wow.
Fascinating.
And you should know there's good energy. Good energy for love is going to enter directly in the east, wealth directly in the west. So whatever rooms in your home face in those direct directions, add something for wealth and something for love, and you'll activate that star.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. We could
go
on and
on,
but I hear music.
Yeah, well, we could go on. What a wonderful thing. And at some point, we're going to have you back on our divination show. So this was kind of the beginning of the, like I said, the shot across the bow. But next week, we're having our first divination show. And we will have Miss Athena back doing feng shui divination where people can send her a map of their house. And she will then do divination for them. All right. Thank you so much, Miss Athena. Let's let Evan take this away and see what happens when he assumes the powers of the microphone.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kat, and thank you, Conjureman. And thank you, Ms. Athena of GothamConjure.com in New York for being our guest this week. Please join us next week for our brand new Oracle Hour, when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Ms. Mike Hell of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, who will be bringing us the topic and practice of bibliomancy. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and ConjureMan at ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I am your announcer, Evan Lionheart, joining you from evanlionheart.com in New Jersey. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Evan. And wow, what a show. All right. Remember, next week is going to be the beginning of the Lucky Mojo Oracle Hour. That'll be the first week of the month, and the other 3 weeks, or four if we have one of those kind of months, will be our regular Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. But the Oracle Hour is going to bring you something new, and we're looking forward to getting people in on the idea of learning new forms of fortune-telling, divination, and prognostication, prediction, and prophecy. All right.
Love it.
Good night, everybody.
Good
night.
Good night.